pretty big trunk on my looking town car, ain't it? Big enough to take these broken hearts and put them in it. Now I'm driving round on the boulevard, trunk bleeding. And every time the cops pull me over, they don't ever see them, they never see them. And I got this black suit on, rolling around like I'm ready for a funeral. 5 more miles to the road runs out.
Welcome to Chicken Dish, July something edition.
Eighth.
July 8th edition. It's been a while since we... and that's a welcome from Anna's cat, Colonel Mustard. It's been a while since we have recorded an episode. If you're a real fan, you may have noticed that there is a special Sneaky Squirrel episode that I just posted. That Colonel Mustard loves.
He's a big fan.
He's a big fan of that one. So there's a super Sneaky Squirrel episode that was posted recently, and that one is a live episode when my fellow Chickenhead was in Chicago about a week and a half ago, and we recorded it with RDG. I apologize, the sound is awful. I may or may not have been a few cocktails in when we started it, but but for those of you that are good friends and know all of us, I think you'll laugh just as much as I did when I listened to it, just because it is so awful. So we posted that one for funsies, but this is our real recording. So hopefully we can get back on track. We're gonna try to do these, I think, about every other week, especially here in the summer. Summers get crazy busy. So Anna and I want to keep this as something that we like to do and look forward to, and not end up hating Chicken Dish. If all goes well, you were introduced to a little bit of music at the beginning of this podcast, and that was a song called Swim Good by Frank Ocean, who is going to be part of our topic of discussion for this week. And I don't know if you remember this, Anna, but do you remember a couple months ago I sent you a YouTube clip? I mean, this was probably like 4 or 5 months ago, of these two male singers on YouTube that I was like, oh, I'm obsessed with this song. You have to listen to it. And some Garcia guy that was from American Idol, and then another like British guy, but they were singing a song. And I think your response was, yeah, this seems like a song you would like. there's something like that. It's not exactly a ballad that rocks, but... But it's funny because it was a cover of Frank Ocean's Swim Good.
Oh, random.
Yeah, so that is where my obsession with Frank Ocean began. So I started to listen to everything I could by him, and I really fell in love with his music. And it has become very evident why, because now he just came out as gay.
Right.
Further, basically telling me that everything I love is gay. I used to love Ricky Martin. Enough said.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't know why. I mean, that's great that he came out. It's just so sad that it's still such a big deal.
True.
That he's gay, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, this is the same week. So a lot's happened in gay world, I guess, in the past like week and a half, but you know, Anderson Cooper came out and everyone was like, duh.
I thought he was already out.
No, he's never publicly said that he was out or that he was gay.
I thought he was totally gay. I thought he was like out.
No. It was, but it was one of those things. I mean, first of all, your mom is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Right.
He had no chance of straightness.
Right.
But yeah, like, he's never publicly said that he was out. So it was always kind of this big thing where it was like everyone knew he was gay, but he just had never said it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so he just publicly, he wrote a letter to, I forget who the reporter was, but he basically said in the letter, I am gay, I've always been gay, and I'm happy and proud and blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
So it's the first time he's ever, like, come clean about it, I guess.
Hmm. I did not know that. Yeah, I just always thought he was out,
because
it was just pretty obvious.
I know. Yeah. Like, I don't think that, and that's why I think it wasn't so shocking, because everyone's like, duh, you know, like, we kind of already knew that.
Oh, okay.
But
because I thought he had, like, he used to be spotted with his boyfriend, I thought, all the time. Like, I thought he had some, like, serious boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't, maybe. I don't know. But I think even then, like, obviously there's a lot of celebrities who, there's a lot of speculation, but then as soon as somebody tries to say they're gay, there's some explanation for why they have this same-sex companion all the time.
Right.
Queen Latifah. Has
Oprah and Gail.
Listen, you can't jump on the Oprah and Gail bandwagon, because that makes people think that you and I are lesbos then, too. And I love a lesbo, but I'm just saying, I really believe that two women can just be friends that are that close, don't you?
I know, I'm just kidding. It's just because it's Oprah.
But do you really think that Oprah could be gay?
I don't know, possibly. I don't know why her and Stuckman haven't gotten married. Like, what's her stance on that?
Mm. She says that it's because she does have a stance. I forget what it is. It's not, like, she's just
not. It's not the whole, like, I'm not going to get married until everybody can get married.
No. No, I think it's just, like, she's never really been, I think the stance is something really cheesy and Oprah-esque, like, she never had kids or got married because her life was dedicated to the world and not just like one, like, she, you know what I mean? Like, her calling is to dedicate.
Lesbo!
Come on! Come on!
I'm just kidding.
I don't know. This is my only reaction to that. In that she said once, you know, there's always all these gay rumors, and that actually hurts me because I've done my best to lead a genuine and authentic life and to be kind of an open book.
Right.
And I would feel no shame if I were gay. So it actually hurts me when people make these claims, because it makes me feel like they think I'm living a lie.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Yeah. And so I was kind of on the maybe lesbian bandwagon until I heard that. And I thought, you know, she really has kind of like put it out there.
Right.
You know, the girl's really laid bare with a lot of shit, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if she thinks that it would alienate too many people, but, like, you know, Ellen is loved by Midwestern housewives all around the, you know.
Right.
I think that.
No, and I think Oprah knows, you know, just based on the influence that she has around the world, that if she really were gay, coming out would be the best thing for the gay community, and I think she would take that seriously, so.
I do, too.
I just like to rag on her because it's Oprah.
I know. I didn't.
She's so bougie now sometimes. I'm like, ugh.
All the time. I know. When I would watch, I kind of still liked her until they had that behind-the-scenes show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the making of the Oprah show. And I was like, she is a biznatch.
Mm-hmm.
If I worked for her, I'd be like, listen, you boozy.
Bougie. She's probably boozy, too.
She's boozy and bougie. But I'd be like, listen, you bougie bitch. Like, basically, she stopped having any influence over, like, the shows that were being made.
Right.
Those shows, like, that's nothing about her. Everything, all those shows that were so well done, that was all her team putting that together. I mean,
right.
She was just, like, a puppet, you know? So it's like, you're really not that great.
Right. Well, and she just, like, I know she does a lot of great things, and she's not completely disconnected from what's going on in the world, but I just remember an episode that turned me off from her was when she's like, I don't know what the episode was even about, but she said some comment about how she likes to have her linens changed every day.
Yeah.
And her guest was like, well, you know, that's not really realistic for the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And Oprah looked at her with, like, daggers shooting out of her eyes. Like, how dare you, you know, question me or, you know, whatever on my show. Like, she just looked so pissed that this woman said that to her. I was like, well, it's true. Who changes their linens every day?
Yeah, it was something about, like, germs or, like, being clean or something. I remember that. And she was like, well, don't people just change their linens every day?
Right.
And it was like, bitch, you haven't changed a linen in 30 years.
Exactly.
Just, if I had somebody to change my linens, hey, hairline. If I had somebody to change my linens, I would change them every hour.
Right. Exactly.
If I had Oprah money, they would be being changed right now.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I only have 2 sets of sheets and a broke down dryer, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. She did get super bougie.
All right, so Oprah's not gay.
Okay. Tangent alert.
I just like to rag on her because I can't help it.
I know. Well, okay.
She's a freaking billionaire, you know?
True. But what do we, like, okay, so in addition, we'll get back to the kind of, like, the hip-hop Frank Ocean thing in a minute, but can we do another brief tangent on Tomcat?
Oh, yeah, I think it's really funny how they're making it sound like she was held captive, you know? Like, she's, like, she's in an abusive relationship that she's, like, escaping.
I know.
You know, they're like, she's been plotting this for weeks. She got her own cell phone plan, and she filed in New York because of the custody or blah, you know, all this, like, stuff that it's, like, she'd been, you know, she really had to think this through to escape from him.
But don't we really just think that she just signed a 5-year contract?
Right. Oh, for sure. Although, I don't know, maybe it was supposed to be less than that. I don't know. Because Tom seems so, I don't know, who knows?
Well, because I find it very ironic that all of his divorces are on exact anniversary celebrations of, like, you know, like, Nicole Kidman and he were 10 years exactly. He and Katie, 10 years exactly. And apparently he's been married 3 times, and every time he divorces the woman, the year she turns 32.
Right.
What is that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that if you took that man's shirt off, there's robot parts.
Yeah, he freaks me out for sure.
I know. Like,
he's
super,
super creepy.
I think that at this point, I would be, like, he's turned such a creepy corner that I would be mm-hmm. so much happier if he was just, like, I feel like the world would be happier if he was, like, by the way, I'm a gay robot.
Yeah, well, I remember,
we'd all be like, oh, okay.
Makes perfect sense. No, I agree. Even, I read, I think it was like Us Weekly or something, and they had some huge spread on how everybody loves Tom Cruise. I think this was before that divorce thing came out. And even Rob Lowe said when he first met Tom Cruise on the set of The Outsiders, which is, you know, like probably 30 years ago.
Yeah, maybe more.
But even back then, Rob Lowe was like, yeah, he had this like laser-like intense focus of someone that I've never encountered that before in my entire life. And that was when he was like, you know, 18. So yeah, I would agree that he's probably a robot.
Do you think he was born or made?
Right, yeah, he's like a pod person.
I'm pretty sure that there are various parts glued together to form Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm. Him and John Travolta. I mean, look at all those fucking weirdo Scientologists. That's what it is.
It's true.
That's what makes him ultra creepy.
But is it, do you think it's, here's the thing, like, I feel like in Scientology, they don't believe in being gay, right?
Right.
So, how come all these gay celebrities are Scientologists?
Like who?
John Travolta.
But he's not out gay.
Well.
I mean, yeah, he's obviously gay, but you know what I mean? But nobody who's out that's gay in Scientology.
But that's my point. Like, Kirstie Alley, Scientologist.
Right. Right.
John Travolta, Tom Cruise, John Travolta's wife.
Right.
Who the speculation about that is that she and Kirstie are actually in a relationship.
Really?
Uh-huh.
She could do way better.
I like that that's your takeaway from that story. Anna, the heart loves who it loves. Not only that, but they've probably been in a relationship for like 20 years. And when she played Rebecca on Cheers, she was super hot.
She was hot.
So
I think she's still kind of hot now in her hot messness.
I think so too. With that thick, strong hairline, when she's got like,
yeah, she's gonna need a recession, a little bit of a recession.
No, you know I love a low hanging hairline. Love it. So jealous.
Juliette Lewis, she's a lesbo or at least bisexual.
Yeah. Leah Remini too, even though she's married and has a kid, there's a lot of speculation that she's actually a lesbo.
Is that the lady with the crazy lips? No.
That's Lisa Rinna.
Oh, from
King of Queens and
formerly. Is she a lesbian?
Yeah.
And she's a Scientologist? I liked her. I didn't know she was crazy.
Yeah. Well, she's also BFFs with J-Lo, which also makes me go,
You think J-Lo's a lesbo?
Let's just play fantasy speculation. If J-Lo was...
Because of all her ex-husbands are so scrawny?
But she, more than anybody in... More than any celebrity, has had to prove how heterosexual and, like, a romantic at heart she is. You know what I mean? Like, it's always like, why do we know about all these stupid relationships? Why are you dating a 24-year-old choreographer named Casper? Who is obviously gay. Have you ever heard him talk?
No.
Yes, ma'am, you are obviously gay. Like,
oh, really?
He is a dancer. Not that there aren't straight dancers, but both of them are married. he's like a backup dancer that's not even that cute. He literally talks like a lady.
Huh.
And is so completely... non, like, masculine, and, you know, like, I kind of get it, but if he was some, like, super machismo, like, super straight dancer, that's hot, you know, like a Channing
Tatum.
Like, even
Kevin Federline, like, he's not my kind of hot, but I get that, because he's, like, a bigger white dude that apparently could dance hip-hop or whatever.
Right. I mean, I've never actually seen proof of that, but I hear he can dance. Well,
right.
I agree. Like, I was kind of like, okay, I kind of get Kevin Federline, but, like, this Casper Smart guy, a no. Her ex-husband, right. Chris Judd, right. He is a lady.
Right. Mark Anthony was a Skeletor. He's, like, the grossest one of them. I mean, at least the other ones are kind of pretty in their gayness, but Mark Anthony was just, like, a gross, decaying, like, bag of bones. It's so gross.
Bag of bones. I'm pretty sure that I wore the same size as Mark Anthony when I was in fourth grade.
I don't think I ever wore the same size as Mark Anthony.
I feel like he's wearing my Z Cavaricci's from fourth grade.
Uh-huh. He for sure wears a girl's slim.
Yeah, and, you know, like instead of like pretty plus,
right,
he's like
husky.
He's like sassy slim. Yeah, he just was like, if he was like 4 inches taller and about 50 pounds heavier, I would kind of get it, because I get that he was at least the most machismo of all of the guys.
Right.
And I can, you know, I realize that I can get hung up on that sort of, like, you know, Latin whatever.
Right.
I
would he's definitely, like, bossy pants.
Right. Like, I kind of get that attraction. But she, her butt weighed more than he did.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine the fact that they had babies, or, you know, actually had sex to get pregnant.
Well,
I don't buy it.
She had twins, so she was obviously artificially inseminated. So I think she just married him because she is a lesbian with Leah Remini. So I think that she just married him for show because they were such good friends. And he agreed to do it, and that was going to help his career move forward, too. And so he just donated his sperm.
Oh.
I don't even think they were actually married, to be honest, but...
I never heard that her lesbo rumors about her, but I guess it doesn't surprise... I guess none of it surprises me, especially after reading that hip-hop book. Like, everybody is gay. It's like, everybody smokes pot, everybody's gay.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it makes me mad because I'm like... I get really upset about... first of all, how all the sheeple in the world are just so, like, they have the wool pulled over their eyes about how, like, Hollywood. Hollywood sells this image of all of these celebrities, and these people buy it and, like, go along with it. Like, oh my God, how dumb are you? Like, why don't you question anything? Why don't, you know, like, I was listening to some interview with Rosie O'Donnell, and she's like, back in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, they had, and she's like, they're still probably going on, I'm just old and out of the scene, but she's like, we had all of these Hollywood secret lesbian parties, where it was, like, all of these famous actresses that would come to these parties, and they were all, they all got to be out at these parties, and I guess...
That's what they talk about in that book.
Yeah, and I guess, like, what's her nuts? The other chick from The Talk... The little sister of Little House on the Prairie chick.
Oh, Gilbert?
Yeah, Gilbert. So Sarah Gilbert, I guess, was like 16 or 17 going to those parties, and she wasn't out yet. She was like dating, in quotes, her co-star, her male co-star. And so Rosie would be like, you know, all the rest of us were in our like 20s and 30s, and she used to be like, get this like 16-year-old teenager out of these parties. She was creeped out by the, you know, by the fact that there was like a teenager there, but... Rosie was like, you know, I'm not going to say who was there, but it was, like, prominent people, most of whom are still not out. But, you know, some of them from back in those days were, you know, Ellen and Melissa Gilbert and stuff like that, or Sarah Gilbert, they were at these parties, and so we all knew each other were lesbians, but many of them have chosen to remain quiet about it. And it just...
Yeah, I wonder if she was... Like, he talks about that in that Hiding in Hip Hop book, about those parties, and he said that there was a woman, whoever's house it was, that was very, like, the mom of the group, and kind of watched out for everybody, and I wonder if it was Rosie. Maybe. Although she would have said if it was her house, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember the full interview, so she might have said that she had him at her house, but I don't remember that. Maybe. But
maybe I could see Wanda Sykes, too.
Yeah. And I, you know, while on one hand, I'm really, so Anna was just mentioning that Hiding in Hip Hop book, which is this book by an author, Terrence Dean. And so he's this African-American kind of ex-entertainment executive who wrote this book probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's 2008.
Okay, so like, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. He wrote this book called Hiding in Hip Hop, and it's basically kind of an expose, like a blind gossip book about all of these people that he encountered in the entertainment industry who are kind of within their own circle. They're out as gay, but they don't come out to the rest of the population. So he sort of puts them all on blast in this book, but he does it under with like nicknames and kind of hiding their identity.
The blind item.
Blind items, which I'm obsessed with. So it was interesting. So I started, you know, I was reading some excerpts from the book and then realized that I'm not smart enough about, like, hip-hop in general to know who some of these people were or, you know, sort of that level of the entertainment industry. So I just started reading excerpts from other websites that were taking portions of his book and then, you know, kind of putting out guesses on who some of the different passages were about. And it's, while I'm sure some of them are wrong, there's just too many things that add up with a lot of them. That it's pretty crazy. Like, what would you say is the craziest one? Are there any that you were like, yeah, that's definitely the right person and I would never have thought it?
Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
He talks about how he... And it might not be the same one, but there are many other references. Like, that, well, maybe that could be Puff Daddy, too. But he talks about one of them where he was this, like, huge megastar and was always seen with, like, a gaggle of women. And when he was on set or whatever they were shooting that day, he actually saw up closer that the women were actually trannies.
Whoa!
So, but nobody, you know, with, like, untrained eyes, or if you're not looking to see if it's a tranny, you know, nobody really noticed, but he's like, yeah, those are definitely all trannies, and they all went back to his trailer and, you know, did whatever during breaks. Because I could see that being Puff Daddy, like, always having to be surrounded by women.
Yeah.
And have that image that he, especially, because this was all, like, everything that he wrote about, at least the parts that I've read, were from, like, the early 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, so kind of before it, like, really got huge. So I could totally see that being Puff Daddy.
I was also kind of shocked by one that's pretty cut and dry, that there really isn't any, there really isn't any doubt about it, but it was Busta Rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's several, like, if you read other gossip sites, basically he talks about, specifically by name, a woman that Busta Rhymes used to date, who he ran into at, like, a red carpet event. And this woman, I think her name is Delicious.
Uh-huh.
Obviously. She was like, you know, do you know anything about XYZ, the guy that I used to date? So he gives very specific clues, because he's like, oh, you mean the one that used to have long dreads and now cut him short? Like, whatever. So basically on the website that I was reading, they kind of put two and two together, and the only hip-hop star that was dating this woman at the time and used to have these dreads, you know, like Busta did, and then cut them. I mean, it was just, it all adds up really clearly that it was Busta Rhymes, and basically he's, like, full-on closeted.
Right.
Like, he's not even, like, a dabbler. Like, I think Eddie Murphy might just be a dabbler.
Right. Well, that's what's sad, too, is that, like, isn't part of, you know, the hip-hop principles, you know, it's based on, like, oppression, you know? Like,
yeah.
Based on getting out of the hood and the discrimination that they get from cops and whatever, and they're afraid to come out as gay for the exact same reason, that they're going to be oppressed by their own people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really sad to me that they don't feel comfortable. Because there are so many. I mean, I was trying to Google some, and I just had to stop because there was just so many that I couldn't figure out. But, I mean, I would say it's, like, over half.
Well, and if you think back, this is going to be, like, really, this is going to be, like, stereotyping 40 words a minute right now, but when I think back to my experience, like, when I was in high school and junior high and stuff, like, everybody who was kind of in acting and who was in the choir and, you know, a lot of, like, the thespians and everything else, it was sort of, like, this haven for a lot of the kids that were, gay. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of them who I now am friends with, you know, on things like Facebook and stuff like that, it was kind of one of those things that back in the day you always suspected, but nobody ever talked about because we were, like, 13.
Right.
But, you know, they had a picture of Lucille Ball in their locker or, you know, like, they were just, you know, they were very into the arts program. Not because I think that they necessarily, like, I don't equate because you're into the arts, it means you're gay. But
right.
I think in the environment of kind of, like, the small town that I was from, it was an outlet for them, you know, because they felt maybe a little bit oppressed by, like, the jock group or, you know, some of the other groups.
Right.
So it was sort of not a hiding place, but it was sort of a safe haven for them. And so then
right.
when you think that now we're looking at the entertainment industry, a lot of these people are people that were into the arts and, like, into music and into, you know, and things like that. And it's, like, it's not that far of a stretch to think that a lot of them
right.
are the same people that you remember from back then. They just have got better PR teams.
Right.
Feeding you this line of how hetero they are because they don't want to alienate middle America.
Right. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I think that's for Frank Ocean to come out now. I think it is a new era, you know, because he's only, what, like 23 or something like that?
I think 23 or
24,
yeah.
So it's definitely a new era. Well, not that it's, like, fully accepted, obviously, but it's definitely, you know, compared to in the 90s. I think in the 90s, too, there was so much stigma attached, like, with AIDS and stuff.
Yeah.
Too, that everybody thought, oh, if you're gay, you for sure have AIDS and all that stuff. So, obviously, some of those things have gotten better. But, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine what that must feel like, though. I mean, these people have wives.
Mm-hmm.
And they have children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how... And then that raises the question of how gay are you, then, if you're really... having sex with a woman, or maybe not having sex with a woman, but you're creating children.
Yeah, sometimes a lot
with
of
with a woman, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I guess I don't really fully understand why there's such a stigma in the Black community about being gay. Like, where do you think that stems from?
I think it's from church. At least that's what Terrence Dean talks about.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, you know, even though, regardless of how they were raised or what economic situations, they all went to church.
Yeah, that's true.
and then especially Baptist church, they are basically like, he said there were so many sermons where they were like talking so negatively about gay and how you're going to go to hell and you have to stop gay people. And I mean, he said it was really like uncomfortable.
And I wonder too, if, because a lot of times, statistically speaking, there's a lot of single parent homes, you know, in the black, a lot of these black urban communities where it's a mom that's raising a kid. And I wonder if there's some stigma attached to the fact that they need to be like the man of the house, you know, and then you're combining this message from like the church. And so it develops. But I feel like in the Latin community, there's a lot of machismo too, but I don't know.
Totally, yeah.
Do you feel like the same stigma is attached to homosexuality in the Latin community?
Yeah, I would say so. I think so. Yeah, it's so weird.
I know, I really wish there was, like, I want to have, like, national just come out for fuck's sake day. Where it's, like, all the people that we already know.
Right.
Really, John? Come on. We know you're bald and gay. Like, let's just get over it, you know? Like, let's collectively move on. There's going to be, like, you know, 10% of the people who aren't going to go see your movies now because you're gay.
Right.
But frankly, you'll probably gain 10% from people that are going to support something because of the fact that you were honest about your life.
Right. And especially now, like, with all the bullying and just how, like, you know, everything is out there all the time. Like, there's just so much crap out there. I just think it would be such a positive thing if some of these people came forward. Like, think how amazing that would be for the gay community. I mean, they already have some wonderful advocate, you know, like Ellen and Rosie and whatever. But just think about, especially for hip-hop, if some of those people came forward, that would be huge for the gay community.
Totally. Well, because if everybody who was gay came out, it would no longer, like, the entire population who is homophobic, that segment of society, is then going to become this, like, disenfranchised group. Because now, they will, if they decide to boycott anything that's homosexual, they will no longer have music or movies or TV. Because they'll realize that it's really a normal part of everyday society. And all these people that they've idolized and loved actually are, you know? So, A, it's going to change some minds. And, B, the ones who are still going to remain closed are going to find themselves to be the ones that are disenfranchised.
Right.
Not the rest of us who are, like, open and accepting and, you know, and everything else.
Right. And think about, like, how lyrics will change. You know, there's still in hip-hop a lot of, like, very homophobic lyrics. And, of course, just like in anything, like, the people that shout the loudest about that stuff, it's usually the closest to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that also makes sense that a lot of those people are gay. But
squeaky wheel got some oil last night.
Exactly. But that will change everything, too. Like, it'll be some, it's more different. I'm not going to say it's not going to be edgy anymore, but it won't be as, like, as negative, you know?
Right. Well, like, having these homophobic lyrics will stop being this thing that's applauded because now you're really kind of setting yourself apart as being a homophobe versus having that be the norm.
Right.
Now you're actually, people can say, oh, well, it's everybody does it. It's fine. Like, they're just doing what everybody in the rap community does. If all of a sudden these people came out and started setting forth this image that it's not okay to do that because half of your own community is gay, then, you know, I feel like those lyrics will be less and less accepted over time.
Right.
And it just also, you know, I know that, I don't know, I have this sort of, like, 50-50 feeling about when people are outed. You know, like, there's some people that are super against outing people in the media.
Right.
Like, if there's a celebrity or something and somebody catches them doing something that's very blatantly homosexual and it's like, they put it on blast. All these people are like, you can't out people. It's a process. You know, they need to do it in their own time. But frankly, if somebody's 52 damn years old, you know, and has enough money to have their own private plane, not that I'm saying any names, but it's like, this person has buried themselves so deep in the closet that they aren't going to come out. And frankly, you are just opening yourself up to like, you know, having people kind of dig deep into your life to out you. Because it's, like, kind of such a ridiculous thing, you know?
Right. I think it is a tough spot because, you know, again, 20 years ago, the media with celebrities and the obsession with celebrities was not the same as it is today.
Right.
You know, we had, what, like Teen Beat and Tiger Beat magazine, and then there was The Inquirer, which was just like purely made up crap, you know.
Yeah, remember it was always, it was every week, it was something about an alien.
Right. Or, yeah, or some celebrity, yeah, had an alien or something like that, yeah. But yeah, but now I think that it's just so invasive. And I'm not saying, you know, as a celebrity, that is what you sign up for. But I don't know that 20 years ago that anybody would anticipate that it is the way that it is now, where you're truly under a microscope and you can't really even take a shit without somebody taking a picture of it. Like,
I know, which is gross, but true.
Right.
But I also...
it's a hard position to be in, I think. Because, like, you know, like I said, I'm... part of it, becoming a celebrity, yes, you do sign up for that, some lack of privacy, but I don't know that the people that have been in the business for so long knew that it would turn out to be like this.
But I also kind of feel like, and this may be slightly controversial, but in the back of my head, I always feel like the fight for gay rights is always equated to the fight for civil rights for, you know, black folk. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, on a lot of planes, it's very similar because it's sort of two, you know, oppressed groups that are fighting for recognition and equality and things like that. And I'm on board with both of them, you know?
Right.
But I also kind of feel like it's a little bit unfair because as a black person in America in the 50s and 60s, there was no choice but to be out. Or even, you know, or any sort of
right,
racial
yeah, you
minority.
Couldn't hide that you were black.
Yeah, nobody, you couldn't walk around and wear a blonde wig and be like, right. No, my, right, and start drinking out of the white water fountain. You know what I mean? Right. Like, like, I was there, first of all. But, you know, as a minority, like, you were forced to be out and to fight for that equality and, right. and to, you know, kind of like, there, like, if you were oppressed, there was no way to hide. Like, there was nowhere right. to hide. It was, like, if you were black, you had to use a different bathroom, a different water fountain, sit in the back of the bus. So it's kind of like, you know, there's a reason that that shift in equality as people, as, you know, the 60s happened and the civil rights movement happened. There's a reason that it happened a lot faster than their fight for gay rights, I feel like, because this group was collectively together. Nobody was able to hide out and be like,
right.
if, you know, if 50% of the, or 70% of the black population tried to, you know, front like they were white people.
Right.
You have a much smaller group trying to push forward and make this momentum known, you know? So, yeah, and it took support from more than just black people. It took, you know, whites that supported it and everything else. But I feel like, you know, the community was much more organized and out and upfront, sort of because they had to be.
Right.
But I kind of, that's why I sort of think, like, you know, I'm on the fence about, like, outing people, but it's like, if I were, you know, a homosexual in this day and age, I would want everybody who was a homosexual to be out.
Right.
Because I feel like the only way for us to move forward is to show our numbers.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. I think it is somewhat selfish to not come out, and especially in this day and age. The fact that we are still even talking about this, that it's an issue, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2012. Like, why is this even still an issue? Where I think that you're right. If everybody came out, it would be so much better because you could get so much more support from everything, you know?
And people would realize that it really is so normal, so, you know, in every facet of our life. There is no, you know, people in the South, people who are Baptist, people who are, you know, like, get everybody out.
right, yeah, because you can't help who you love. Like, why does that matter?
True.
It doesn't matter what you look like. Like, some, you know, you might see a couple where you're like, dang, that's a really ugly couple, or that, you know, that's a pretty girl with an ugly guy, or whatever. I'm just saying, like, you love who you love. It doesn't matter what they look like, if they're the same sex, if they're a different, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Quick tangent on the, that's an ugly guy with a pretty girl. this is so mean. This is like true confession moment. But last night we were at dinner and there was a group of four that sat next to us, like a there's like a round table next to us, and this group of four people sat down, and it was two guys and two girls, and the two guys were like super hot, like mm-hmm. not even S-U-P-E-R, like S-U-P-A hot, like uh-huh. really, really cute. And one of the girls was really cute, like this cute little, like kind of trendy looking Asian girl. And then the other girl was not cute. Told you, it's like mm-hmm. true confession moment. But I was trying to pay attention to my own dinner table.
like how not cute? Like Lily Sobieski, because you know I hate her. Like that kind of not cute.
No, like she was just kind of like not really a cute face. Like just I would say very average face, kind of mousy hair, a little like oafy kind of, you know, like a bigger girl, which is fine, you know, like whatever, you know, I think big is beautiful, but like oafy about her, you know, herself, like just felt like looked really uncomfortable in her skin. And like, you know, just the other three were looked very kind of like image conscious. The guys, you know, looked straight. They definitely seemed straight. But I, in my head, I was like, I was wondering, A, is this a double date?
Right.
B, did one of these guys get set up with this girl? If so, what is he thinking?
Right.
Like, I had all these scenarios in my head, so I could not stop watching because I was trying to figure out the dynamic.
Like, if they knew each other for a long time.
Yeah, like, was it, but, you know, and so I was, like, eavesdropping. Like, mm-hmm. do they all know each other? Do I think they're just friends? Like, it was just having these three super attractive people and then one that was, like, one of these things is not right. like the other. I felt so mean, but I was like, I gotta figure out what this dynamic is. Because you're so used to seeing, like, if it had been a super hot chick with an ugly dude, I would assume he had money and a big wang.
Right.
Or a small wang.
Shannon's sermon.
Right. Or a small wang and even more money. But, like...
Right.
But it was just so weird to see these, like, three really attractive people and then the one that was, like...
Right.
Completely stuck out. I was not able to ascertain the nature of the relationship. Try as I might. But I was horrified at my own, like my own obsession with figuring out what that situation was about. And then I'm like, oh my God, do people think that about me? Like now, so now I'm like, am I like, when I go out with three friends, am I the ugly one that they try to figure out?
Oh my God.
Then I realized it was you and I was okay. Just teasing. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where we landed on hiding in hip-hop or Frank Ocean, but I feel like we've made our opinions very clear.
Agreed. I'm glad he's out. I think it will do wonders for the hip-hop community, or I'm hoping it will do wonders. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, there's a little, I have a little clip of a note from Terrence Dean, who wrote that book that we were just talking about, Hiding in Hip Hop. He wrote an open letter to Frank Ocean after the announcement came out.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
I just love randomly looking up at you sometimes and seeing what's going on. I like this little clip. It's just like a short couple sentences. But so Terrence Dean, the Hiding in Hip Hop guy, writes to Frank Ocean and says, "The mirror image you're reflecting to the world gives us a new vision to aspire to. Your grace and ability to stand in your truth and be who you are called to be give others the courage and strength to be unafraid and be free. Thank you for not playing small or even allowing yourself to be small. You're too big and nothing can contain your spirit, for it is your calling to give us this moment right here, right now." Love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I really do, hope that somehow urban music is, you know, not just hip hop, but just urban music in that community is affected by this and that it brings a little, some winds of change. La la la. More, do it more, because I can't wait. whistle.
And Morel's lesbo. That's so funny. We were talking about that last night.
Who?
The chef with, like, the spiky white crazy hair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who was like, she might be straight.
I mean, I was like, obviously, but I didn't know she was actually, like, out and out.
Good for her. Here's a quote. I would like to bleach my hair white and make it spiky and look like Guy Fieri. Said no straight woman ever. Yeah. But I mean, I am going to buy every one of Frank Ocean's albums. I'm going to single-handedly lift him up. I encourage any little cluckers to do the same. Not that I will single-handedly lift him up, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I will commit to that because I think it's so brave, and I wish that more people had bravery like that.
Agreed.
Inspirational.
Thanks, John, Frank. You could learn a lesson from him, Tom Cruise.
Right?
Robot man.
Robot. Oh, he's so creepy. And, like, why is he not aging? He's a white man.
Right, exactly.
There is something artificial going on.
Oh, yeah, you know he gets injected with all kinds of, like, weird hormones and...
Speaking of.
Weird genetic testing DNA thing. Did you get a little Botox there?
Let's go ahead and take that offline. I did. I recently, in the interest of truth.
Why? You don't need any.
I got it all done in my hairline to stop any
the sweaty
five head sweating.
Oh, is it working?
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of hard to tell because, like, the day that I got it, it was 107 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would be a robot if I wasn't sweating at 107 degrees.
Right.
But it takes, they say it's like 3 to 7 days to start kicking in. So yesterday, it was like at dinner, I was talking, in the middle of talking to Stacey. I was like, la la la, saying something, and all of a sudden I went, eh. And I realized it was like, for the first, like my forehead's not moving right now. So I really just noticed it starting yesterday, so... I don't know. I haven't been in that many, like, sweaty situations since then.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a couple days and see. But I feel like it. Because I feel like even sometimes just, like, when I'm just feeling anxious, it'll, like, I'll start to get a little beat up of sweat. And I haven't had really any since I've noticed it starting to kick in. So. I got very little done.
I need to get that on my nose.
I know. Now I want it on my swupper lip. My swass.
Ew.
I'm like, could you go ahead and Botox my ass?
Then how would you do the booty shake?
No one ever needs to see that. Trust. That could retire. So yeah, but it's a weird feeling. I don't know. We'll see. If it really does help with the five head sweat, I could see doing it again. But if it's like minimal... help, I probably wouldn't do it again. Because it just feels weird, you know? And, like, I'm not wrinkly, so...
Right.
But I'm also okay with the fact that, like, I'm not going to probably develop any new wrinkles in the next six months.
That's true.
You know?
Right.
And it's going to kind of give the existing forehead dimple a break. So, I'm okay with it.
All right, well, very relevant to
but listen,
gay oppression.
If I'm telling people they need to come out as gay, then I'm coming out as a sweaty forehead Botox user.
That's fair.
Yeah, totally fair. Anna, what have you had done? What work have you gotten done?
I haven't had any yet.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, if I would get some lipo... If I could, a little nip and tuck.
Where are you getting
lipo? Little lift.
Where are you getting lipo?
No, I'm not. I said I would.
Where would you?
Oh. On my fupa.
Oh, God.
For sure. Hello.
Dude, you are high and tight. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then my, just a little bit out of my back, like my hamstring area. starting to have some dimples, so.
Oh boy.
Could get a little flushing out there.
What? Are you on some sort of a spin wheel right now?
I'm a spinner.
I know. You realize I'm watching you and I'm getting seasick. I'm like,
I know, I forget. I forget because I try to hold the microphone up so I, you know, don't, whatever. Yes, I forget that you're watching.
I can tell because so far you've checked your nose hairs. Do your twofers. stop, I hate it. Do we have a things Anna contemplates for this week?
Oh, let me look. I think I did.
Let me look. Check your notes.
Did I talked about history, right?
Yes.
Yes, that was last time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it in my Evernote.
Love yourself some Evernote.
Oh my God, it's my obsession.
So I think if I don't go see Magic Mike today, I'm definitely going to see it this week. So that will be our next topic of discussion.
Yes.
BTW, while you're looking, I also think it's hilarious that Russ, RDG, and I busted you out on all of your websites for who should play Christian Grey.
Wait, what?
There's like five... On Facebook, there's like 5 likes by you on various people's websites. Yeah. So Russ and I were like Facebook messaging back and forth, and all of a sudden he's like, apparently right now Anna is casting the part of Christian Grey. And I was like, what's he talking about? Then I looked at your Facebook and it was like, Anna likes this guy. Anna likes. I'm like, oh my God, I love that girl.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I did not see that.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got on that page, but it was obviously a page. There's a page on Facebook, of course, about who should be cast for Christian Grey.
Okay.
So I got totally sucked into it.
I know.
We could call this episode 50 Shades of Gay.
That's true.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we just talked for 50 minutes. Like, I don't even know what world problem we just solved, but...
Right.
Somehow.
And this isn't, I can't find, I had some better ones. I can't find the really good contemplate one. I don't know where I go for that one.
Do you have anything off the dome that you contemplate? Anything this week?
I do find sometimes that I think perception is a really weird thing.
Okay.
Because we could go through the same exact thing. Like, let's say we went to the grocery store together. And your perception of what happened in the grocery store and my perception of what happened in the grocery store could be completely different. I just think that's really weird. Like, what is really reality? Because it's all... Just like kind of along my whole thing about history, like it's all somebody's perception of what happened. Just like in, like if someone is in a relationship that you know isn't good for them, in their head, their perception of it is that it's just great. But everybody else from the outside is like, oh no. You know, it's just it's all whatever you think about something, like everything. Like, how do I know that my green isn't your red?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Wait. Quick story interjection. I was just going to ask if you smoked a J before this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But that just made me remember. I wanted to, like, Facebook this, but the story, like, it was too involved to try to make a... I was in the gas station earlier today. This morning I went to the gas station. I was inside going to pay and getting a little iced coffee. And this girl, this like crazy, kind of a crazy beautiful, like she sort of had a nice body, but it might be because she's on meth. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like she was wearing like
a, by default.
Right. Like she was wearing like a sports bra and like matte, like a pair of men's like swim trunks. Yeah. Like literally just a sports bra and men's swim trunks. And I thought she's either a genius new designer or she pulled that out of a trash can. Like, I'm not sure. And then, and she had, like, super tight abs, again, potentially because of meth. I'm not sure.
Right. Right.
So she is behind me in line as I'm going to pay, and she proceeds to drop all of her contents of her, like, fanny pack all over the ground. And it was a fanny pack. And she's on the phone with somebody, like, at the top of her lungs. Like, not even remotely trying to be like, yeah, girl, I'll hit you up in a minute. You know, she was like,
right.
So anyway, you told me you wanted me to get you some kush. I got some kush if you want to smoke.
Oh, my God.
I was like, you know I can hear you, right? Like, everyone in here. She's bent over on the ground, picking up all of her, like, belongings that she just spilled everywhere, talking about how she's got the kush, and asking the chick, like, or asking whoever was on the other line. Wait, what are your cross streets again? I forget. No, I got I got the kush if you want to smoke a little bit. Like, I was like, who are you? Like, you're so bananas.
Oh, my God.
And then just hilarious. Talking so loud, like, yelling into the phone, not even remotely caring that everybody in the store is, like, staring at her. And right. I walk out right behind this black lady who had a lovely, ginormous buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady, as she's walking out, is like, dang. And I was like, I just, like, gave her a look. I'm like, right? And she's like, who was that? I'm like, I don't know. That was crazy. It was, like, one of those moments that you're like, is this happening? Like, there's got to be a camera somewhere. Cause
it's like that, what would you do?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What was I going to do? Make a citizen's arrest?
Right.
It was just so crazy. And then the girl got into, like, a Jeep Cherokee and drove away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then I would say chances are good that she was skinny because of the reasons you initially thought.
Yeah, it was like, right. So, you know, it was one of those things when she first walked in, I was like, wow, she's like, her face was really pretty. You know, she was high and tight. Like, but then I was like, that outfit is a little unusual.
Oh my God.
Like, it's not even that hot out today. It was like 80 degrees this morning. You know, I'm like, sports bra and swim trunks. Interesting.
Right.
with high tops. I forgot she had high tops on.
Oh. Yeah. That's a nice accent.
Yeah, I do like a high top. All right, buddy.
Hilarious. All right, well, thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
And next time, again, we will wax poetic about Magic Mike.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it and discuss.
Yes. Oh, as there's a radio show that I listen to. And this guy, his name is Chainsaw, of course. He's been calling it Magic Marker. He's like, what is with all these, like, sex-starved housewives and wanting to go see Magic Marker?
I know. RDG was texting me, or, like, I don't know, whatever, some medium. He was sending me a message that he was like, between 50 Shades and Magic Mike, it's a good summer to be single. I was like, ew.
Ew.
Gross. All right, my darling.
All right, clucker.
Bawk, bawk. Talk to you next time, cluckers.
Okay.